Begging,
Adhirava,
being impatient, being impatient.
Addressed.
Tam, Viram, Hero,
Asanti,
smiling.
Vira,
Oh, hero,
Mohita,
attracted by him.
Being attracted by him.
Translation: Narada continued, my dear king, when Paranjana became so attractive and impatient to touch the girl and enjoy her, the girl also became attracted by his words and accepted his request by smiling. By this time, she was certainly attracted by king. Purport: By this incident, we can understand that when a man is aggressive and begins to a woman, the woman becomes attracted to the man. This process is described in Bhagavatam as Pumsa Sri Mituni Bhava Maita. This attraction is enacted on the platform of sexual life, thus the sexual impulse is the platform for material engagement. This conditioned life, platform of material sense enjoyment, is the cause of forgetfulness of spiritual life. In this way, a living entity's original Krishna consciousness becomes covered or converted into material consciousness. Thus, one engages in the business of sense gratification. The girl said, "Oh, best of human beings, I do not know who has begotten me. I cannot speak to you perfectly about this, nor do I know the names or the origin of the associates with me." Purport: The living entity is ignorant of its origin. He does not know why this material world was created, why others are working in this material world, what is the ultimate source of this manifestation. No one knows the answer to these questions, and this is called ignorance. By researching into the origin of life, important science, finding some chemical compositions or cellular combinations, but actually no one knows the original source of life within this material world. The phrase Brahma Jigyasa is used to indicate an inquisitiveness to know the original source of our existence in this material world. No philosopher, scientist, or politician actually knows where from we have come, why we are here, struggling so hard for existence, and where we will go. Generally, people are of the opinion that we are here accidentally, and as soon as these bodies are finished, all our dramatic activities will be finished, and we will become zero. Such scientists and philosophers are impersonalists and voidists. In this verse, the girl is expressing the actual position of the living entity. She cannot tell Paranjana her father's name because she does not know from where she has come. Nor does she know why she is present in that place. She frankly says she does not know anything about all this. This is the position of the living entity in the material world. There are so many scientists, philosophers, and big leaders, but they do not know where from they have come, nor do they know why they are busy within this material world to obtain a position of so-called happiness. In this material world, we have many nice facilities for living, but we are so foolish we don't ask who has made this world habitable for us and has arranged so nicely. Everything is functioning in order, but people foolishly think that they are produced by chance in this material world, and after death, become zero. They think that this beautiful place of habitation will automatically remain. Excerpt 4. O great hero, we only know that we are existing in this place. We do not know what will come after. Indeed, we are so foolish that we do not care to understand who has created this beautiful place for our residence. Therefore, this lack of Krishna consciousness is called ignorance. In Srimad Bhagavatam is called Parabhavastava Abhuta Jata. Everyone is born ignorant. The Bhagavatam therefore says we are all born ignorant in this material world. In our ignorance, we may create nationalism, philanthropy, internationalism, science, philosophy, and so many other things. The basic principle behind all these is ignorance. What then is the value of all this advancement of knowledge if the basic principle is ignorance? Unless the person comes to Krishna consciousness, all of his activities are defeated. This human form of life is especially meant to dissipate ignorance, but without understanding how to dissipate ignorance, people are planning and building many things. After death, however, all this is finished. In order to continue, my dear king, when Paranjana became so attractive and impatient to touch and enjoy the girl also became attracted by his words and accepted his request by smiling. By this time, she was certainly attracted by the king. Said, "O best of human beings, I do not know who has begotten me. I cannot speak to you perfectly about this, nor do I know the name and origin of the associates with me. O great hero, we only know that we are existing in this place. We do not know what will come after. Indeed, we are so foolish, we do not care to understand who has created this beautiful place for our residence. So this actually is intelligence speaking. But we see that intelligence here is ignorant, because intelligence says, I don't know. I don't know where I come from. I don't know what will the future be. This, of course, is material intelligence. We also have spiritual intelligence by which we can understand the Supreme Lord and our own existence as Atma. That, of course, arises from the jiva itself. However, we are covered by ignorance in the form of ahankara and other factors. And therefore, we end up in this position. So intelligence ultimately is influenced by ahankara, and therefore it comes out with answers like this: I don't know where I come from, etc. So this in one sense is true, because by our intelligence we really cannot trace out, and we can't figure out what is the origin of intelligence or life or anything. We can speculate definitely, but we really cannot understand. So we have different types of knowledge in this material world, ultimately based on sense perception and inference. So this becomes our knowledge. Yes, it is knowledge in one sense, but it is not absolute knowledge. It has its imperfections, because we don't know if it's true or not. We can only make a theory that is probably true. And ultimately, this knowledge is also limited. It has nothing to do with Atma or Supreme Lord. It has only to do with the material world. So we can define everything in terms of material elements and material bodies and material senses, etc. But ultimately it's partial truth, because we don't include the Atma or the Supreme Lord. So in that sense it is ignorance. We don't have complete truth. So if we take part knowledge, since partial knowledge is the truth, no, it is not. It's only partial knowledge. And because it doesn't have the important part, that is Atma and Supreme Lord, therefore it is ultimately ignorance. So this is the limitation in material intelligence and perception, etc. Material intelligence and material senses cannot see the Supreme Lord or the Atma. So they have no knowledge of this. Therefore, that part is ignorant. They do have perceptions of material things. So we can speculate about the origin of matter, origin of life in terms of bodies, and that is evolution theory or whatever. But we're completely ignorant of Atma or Supreme Lord. So the only way that knowledge can arise is through scripture or sabda. This is the only way we will actually get knowledge of Supreme Lord and Atma. And to begin that, in the material world itself, we have sattva-gun. We can have some understanding of Atma through sattva-gun. But ultimately, the realization will have to take place through Atma itself, which is beyond the gunas. So, therefore, ultimately, we will have to go to higher sources for spiritual knowledge. So, in the material, as long as we're in the material world, we have to take refuge of scripture to get that knowledge. Then, by sadhana, we get realization, and then our knowledge comes directly from the Atma. Atma can perceive itself and the Supreme Lord without the interference of material intelligence, ahankara or whatever, or material senses. So that is real knowledge. So the beginning of that knowledge is in the form of scripture. And all the other knowledge based on senses and mind and intelligence and ahankara ultimately is ignorance. So, therefore, in order to advance, the living entity as a human being has to take shelter of scripture. And through that, then he can understand his nature, his Atma, and the nature of the Supreme Lord. otherwise he's in ignorance. So unfortunately the living entity uses the intelligence for furthering his enjoyment in the material world. So all of the living entity's use of his intelligence is somehow related to that. So therefore, also when we find people trying to be objective and use science to come to the truth, ultimately that is also simply a function of enjoying in the material world. The use of that knowledge is for enjoying the material world. So it is prejudice in one sense. It is not really objective. Why? Because behind this is a hankara, and a hankara itself is produced because the jiva wants to enjoy the material world. So everything after that is based on this principle. So therefore the knowledge that we get through our material intelligence will be limited by that. It is all related to enjoying the material world. This of course is in one sense a truth, it is a partial truth. Yes, the jiva does want to enjoy the material world, but it's not the complete truth. And it's not the only truth, and it's not the real goal, because it won't satisfy the jiva ultimately. So the solution is that we have to take higher knowledge, that is scriptural knowledge, in the form of scripture. Or, if we have great fortune, then we have the blessings of the great sage like Narada. So here we have Narada Muni giving this knowledge to the king. And it is through this that he can actually advance. So scripture is one form and devotee is another form by which we can get this higher knowledge. And he uses this allegory to make the king understand the nature of the jiva in the material world and its hopeless position. So this is Narada Muni's technique for bringing about realization in the king. Well, because it's based on ignorance. So therefore, it's not, and it's based on the idea of enjoying the material world. So it's not really objective. All jivas in the material world are covered by ahamkara, and then they have all their subtle body, and their idea is to enjoy the material world. So all the knowledge will be ultimately related to that. It can never be objective.
For example, people do a research in fundamental physics or which is so far from its practical application
or well, ultimately of course they want to use it for enjoying in the material world. Why they have this knowledge? Somehow they want to use it for enjoyment. So all the applications of physics are there and ultimately for enjoying the material world, exploiting the material world for the purpose of the human being.
Sometimes
soul goes to the
spiritual world. How
the spiritual
intelligence is put into use in the spiritual world?
To serve Krishna.
How to serve Krishna?
Well, actually, this Bhagavad Gita says that
the wife and children are like cause of bondage.
Bondage.
Here, Satya Samyutta is confirming that the wife and children are the cause of bondage, contrary to wife helps father fix the progress and liberation from the material world. How is
that? What
is that? Satya Samhita is saying that wife is not the cause of bondage. Contrary to her, she helps father fix the
progress. Well, it depends. If she's spiritual, fine. If she's not spiritual, then she's cause of bondage.
You can be wife as well.
Huh?
Even can be material and that can be
can't be.
So we should ask the soul directs the intelligence to commit their activities. The argument can be put that why soul is letting the Atma the intelligence go away. Soul being spiritual, how can it tell the intelligence to commit activities which is away from the...
No, because of the desire to enjoy. That's all. That's in the jiva. He wants to enjoy. So therefore, he gets the ahamkara and all these other factors.
Yeah,
yeah. Can't say it's innate because desire can change, but it's there in the jiva.
निरंतर श्री श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। पान महाराज की जय। जुएंगे श्री श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। भाई रूप प्रमाण।